It's time again to turn up your earbuds for our podcast, aptly named That's Where You're Wrong, a lighthearted discussion between two friends with their own opinions, which, by the way, are quite similar, but our pig-headedness won't allow for mutual agreement. In other words, Steve, that's where you're wrong.
All right, welcome back to part two of our podcast today with Bill Jacobs out of Chicago. And in the first half of the podcast, we were talking about how COVID crisis is affecting the restaurant and food industry. And in this half of the conversation with Bill, we're going to get a little more deeply into what exactly is just going on in Chicago. Because for a lot of our listeners who don't live in Chicago, which is basically all of our listeners, it would be great to know. I'm dying to know what's going on in Chicago. And for a bunch of different reasons. And one is it's a huge city, right? And two is murder capital of the United States. And I guess three, too, is there's such a huge black population there. And what we're hearing in the media.
I don't think so.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Bill? Am I wrong, Bill?
There's only Illinois is a very white state.
It's Illinois, by the way. Illinois. Okay, Bill's back.
I'm back.
Did you hear all that, Bill?
Did not.
Okay,
but so, I trust you.
You trust us. Yeah.
So what I want to know, because Chicago is a huge center, it is the murder capital of the United States, and there's a lot of it seems that there is a disproportionate amount of black people that are where all the violence and is happening. So that's kind of one thing I want to know about. Dave, what do you want to know about what's going on in Chicago?
Well, you know what? Chicago and Illinois is quite a Democratic stronghold, I understand, Billy. The last president, Barack Obama, and his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, who was at is now a past mayor of Chicago, are both from there. And in the last election in 2016, Hillary beat Trump by 17% of the vote in the last go around. How do you think it's going to go this time around, Bill?
I think Biden is going to crush him. I think he's going to roll him. I do. I think that the coronavirus is going to be, it's going to be the factor. You know, look, everything has gone to shit here in this whole country. And you know
it
what?
Has.
You know what? He wanted to take credit for the economy, for the stock market, for unemployment. Mm-hmm. Well, he could own this shit too.
He owns it now.
Yeah.
He owns it.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to
tell you this.
Roy Cohen told him never to own anything, though.
Yeah.
Roy Cohen taught him to punch and punch back harder. And you know what? He listened to Roy Cohen. It's amazing. The man is non-apologetic.
No, but he doesn't have... He doesn't have an iota of empathy. And you know what that makes him?
No.
That makes him a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we all know that, though. But the fact is, I think you know that. I know that. Dave knows that. And needless to say, the Democrats know that. But the big problem here, and this is interesting. I'm glad you said that you think Biden's going to steamroll him. Because from our perspective in Canada and what we see on the news, and I watch CNN because I can't, and I wish
there's
I could
your problem
watch
right
Fox.
There.
Just, yeah, I watch CBC too, but I wish I could watch Fox, but we get Fox affiliates, but we don't get the real, you know, the
right.
bullshit
you can pay
from,
for it
from Fox.
You can pay for it and get it.
Well, whatever. But what we're seeing, and I'll tell you, I'm telling this, Bill, from what we're seeing here in Canada, Biden.
He stays alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of them, but I'm not seeing that, and I don't feel that. I'm nervous for you guys, and because it seems, and we can talk about the Donald as the Teflon Don now, because nothing sticks to the fucking guy. So what I'm seeing, somehow he's gonna make himself out the fucking hero
as he always has.
This is all over. And that's what I'm worried about, man. And number two, here's the other thing. His supporters and anybody with 1 ounce of intelligence knows that his supporters are typically undereducated people. And I would challenge anyone to prove me wrong on that. And here's another little aside that Dave knows, but you don't know, Bill. For the last 6 months now, I've been reading Mein Kampf by Hitler. Mm-hmm. And it's a really hard read. It's hard to read. It's hard to read because it's very wordy, number one. It's a little repetitive. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about the repetition and the thing that Donald Trump has taken from Mein Kampf is propaganda and telling a lie and telling the biggest lie. The bigger the lie, Joseph Goebbels said, the bigger the lie, people will think, how can that not be true?
Repeated it over and over.
And that's what all the people that follow Trump, the undereducated people, they believe the lie and they get it over and over and over and over. So that's why I'm worried that Biden's not going to
do it. Steve, go take your blood pressure and give our guest, Bill, a chance to talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
What needs to happen, what should happen, is the Democrats this time, we learned a lesson last time, we gotta be...
You gotta
be smarter. And we gotta play, and we gotta play some dirty stuff too. And we gotta take...
I agree with that.
To the fucking mat, because Hillary couldn't do it, and Hillary was the...
Yeah.
It all went wrong. And as you pointed out, the Democrats, Hillary won the popular vote. She didn't look. Yep. We're gonna win the states. We're gonna win. We're gonna take Wisconsin. She didn't show up to fucking Wisconsin.
No, I know.
You know.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big thing. Look, we're gonna take it. We're gonna take it. We're gonna ram it up his ass.
I hope so.
How is it that Chicago and Illinois is so liberal? Like it's. I also know that. Your mayor, which replaced Rahm Emanuel, I believe, she is female, correct?
Yes, Lori. Yep.
Lori is a member of the LGBTQ sector.
Yep.
That's not the right word, but
demographic.
Yep.
So how is it possible you have areas of the country that are so liberal? Like, you know, you look at Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
Openly gay. Obviously, your mayor openly gay.
Yeah.
How is it possible to what's happening there?
What kind of podcast is this? I didn't sign up.
Was it that bad?
Why?
Someone started.
I didn't sign up for this.
Steve, are you in the toilet?
No.
Is someone taking a piss?
Wait a minute. The podcast takes a turn.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Either you're drinking from the aquarium, Steve, or you're in the toilet doing this podcast. But how is it possible? How is it possible, Bill, that there can be two such separate, desperate divisions in the states where you've got areas of the country where you can have openly gay mayors, and then you've got places like, the red states that wouldn't even put social distancing into effect. How is it possible?
You got places in Mississippi. They believe it's a fucking hoax, you know? How is it possible? Mm-hmm. It's education. It's where, you know, the schools are the education. It's education. And where the civil rights movement was, look where all that stuff was. I mean, this is just how it is, and it continues to exist.
The Betsy DeVos, relation of Betsy DeVos, your education secretary, was one of the people that helped fund or organize the Alex Jones-backed Texas demonstration against social distancing and trying to reopen the economy.
Yeah,
Dave, good research, man. Yeah. Well done.
And in Michigan, you look at Michigan, you know, with these
that was scary.
The gun-toting types that with their the liar in chief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, goading them on to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I think what's going to happen is I'm in sort of in the Bill Maher camp. If you watch Bill Maher at all,
yeah,
the Bill Maher camp says that no matter what happens, Trump's not leaving, and that I personally think he's grooming his daughter to be put forward as the candidate, female, good looking, his son will be the campaign director, but the amount of just distance between the two sides, getting back to the vote, I think there's not going to be a vote. I think Trump is going to somehow
engineer it because the
outbreak of COVID in the States, the Brookings Institute group that was talking about the percentage, I can't think of the name, but the percentage of people that are actually infected with COVID, and they think it's 20% of the population. In some countries like Korea and so on, it's 4% of the population that were actually infected. I think there's going to be unfortunately, a major problem with COVID in the States, and Donald Trump is undercover going to use that to say, we can't hold an election.
We can't have the election.
That's possible. And I guess the question, how do you have an election with this going on? What about the voting? What do you do about that? You know, I mean, concern. It absolutely plays to Trump without question. It plays to him.
Yeah.
So
think about it. I mean, it's possible to do it. You could do it, but just think about the kind of because Trump is always. Oops, I didn't ring the bell. He's always on about election fraud, right? So imagine the election fraud that could go on with everybody voting from their phones mail-in whatever. It's just out. I agree, Dave. That's brilliant. I never even thought of that before, but I can just see the Donald, engineering that, just saying, you know what? It's too dangerous to go to the polls, so we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're heading in that direction, unfortunately. The numbers, you're at 750,000 people right now have tested positive for COVID. And they're only...
It's a third of the total cases in the world are in the U.S. right now.
But the point is that they're only testing the people that are high risk?
The number is way higher
because if they're not going into the general public and every person that walks by point A and testing them and saying yes, no. And there's unfortunately, and I'm not trying to make any, funny light of this. Unfortunately, the U.S. is heading for a great deal of heartache as far as numbers are concerned, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that politically is going to really shake things up even more than they're shaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this piece of shit knew this was going down and he failed to act.
Yes. Absolutely. It was the WHO. The WHO didn't act.
Blame it on WHO, yeah.
Bill,
blame it on the CDC. Yeah.
Bill, have you ever heard of a site called Jackass?
I don't know. I remember
You should look it up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, it's Jackass, not the movie. It's not the movie.
I was sent by a friend of mine to, this is well before we even got to know about you and want to interview. He sent me two websites. One is the Police Scanner Network for Chicago. And that, what and you can listen in real time as
I listen. I listen when you sent that to me. I listened all day, and it was pretty interesting.
But the, and so you can listen real time to what's going on in Chicago on police scanners. But the second website is called Jackass.
Yeah,
and this is a by the minute update of all the gun violence that goes on in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It shows you daily totals of murders, of woundings, all the locations. It even goes to show you where the shots are on the body and so on so forth. It's really an unbelievable website to look at. Mm-hmm. It's weird, but it's horrible at the same time.
Captivating.
What is it like to live in that atmosphere? What
the unfortunate thing is that there's such a disparity between the neighborhoods. You know, you're talking about the south side.
Right. I was just going to say that. So you don't see it.
And it doesn't make me less sensitive to it, but it's in a different part of the city, and it's a serious problem. It's a societal problem, you know? It's not, there's no easy answers to it, but I will say right now, and I'm quite confident, I'm just speaking from the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure right now those murders are way down with coronavirus.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
That's kind of interesting.
But I'll tell you what, it is not. I've also read an article to say you would expect to see that violence drop, but there is very little appreciable drop in violence.
Is that right?
Interesting.
In Chicago at this time,
And look, the fact that I don't know that, and I live in the city, there's
but that just goes to show you how divorced you guys are from it. And I'm not saying intentionally divorced. It's just
the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
That is exactly right. And it does not make it right. Yep. It is not right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
J.B. Pritzker, yes. Am I saying that right? J.B. Pritzker is your governor, and I've seen him a couple of times on CNN.
Good work, Dave.
And he is standing up.
He's great.
In a civil way to the Donald, is he
Absolutely. Not? He's taking it. He's taking the gloves off, man. He's like, he's going after this guy.
Nice. Like Cuomo.
Absolutely. I love JB. And JB's a smart guy, and he's handled this crisis so well with confidence and leadership. And Lori Lightfoot has done the same, you know, and she's new to this business, as is JB. She didn't have any experience in politics whatsoever.
Hey, Dave.
Lori Lightfoot, is she native as well? Lightfoot would be a
no. Sorry, she's not. But I asked that question too. But no, she's not.
So Dave, how do you think Mary and Barry would be handling it right now?
He'd be handling the crack pipe is what he'd be doing.
Crack. Give me another rock. You got another rock for me?
I'm just out of jail. You think they'd elect me again? Sure. Come on.
It sounds like Buddy Cianci. You remember that guy? Buddy Cianci was the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island. And he raped a woman. And he abducted another woman, and they reelected him. He went to prison, and they reelected him.
With what's going on, and you know, you've got COVID, and I think what you're going to probably see in the United States is that they're going to start asking everyone to wear a mask. Outdoors, in all the establishments, if they start to relax the rules, and you're going to have to wear a mask, you're going to have to wear PPE and stay 6 feet away. What the heck is that going to do for in a culture where guns are rampant, and obviously robbery is a major concern, and I'm sure there are laws in Illinois that says you can't wear a mask in a bank. How the hell are you going to go into a bank with a mask on now? And
it's weird.
How's it going to work? I
have no idea, but there's going to be plenty of resistance from those who are not buying into it, who don't want to buy into it, who don't want to be told what to wear, and that they can't carry a gun, you know? It's
scary.
It's what a world we're living in.
So look, let's change tacks here, and maybe if we Dave, I think let's use this as the final bit, the final subject. I want to go back, and we'll end it on a happy note. So, Bill, I know from reading some of the stuff about you, you're a really big dog lover, as I am, and you have a beautiful Airedale named Lisa.
Liza.
I've always wanted to have an Airedale. I never had. I used to have wired hair terriers.
Steve's
when I was a
personality
kid.
Is like an Airedale.
No, I'm more like a wired. I'm more like a wired hair terrier. Airedales are docile compared to wired hair terriers.
Is that true?
And now I have a lab mix, a beautiful little dog named Wally. Mm-hmm. And so you, I believe, were instrumental, perhaps, or maybe you can clear this up, in starting Wrigley Field. Which is a great take on Wrigley
exactly.
Field. So tell us about dogs and Wrigley Field.
So Wrigley Field is the very first dog-friendly area in Chicago, and it happens to be two blocks from my house. It was created out of this derelict kids park that just existed, and it was inhabited by, drug addicts, street people. It was a dangerous place. It was dark. Mm-hmm. So the neighborhood association, which I happen to be on the board of, took this on as a project, and Stacy Hawk and Diane Dorr were board members, and this was their project. So they're like, let's make this a dog park. And the neighborhood association got behind it. The aldermen got behind it. And it has been the pilot program for dog parks in the city. And now there are a lot of them. And
great name.
And to this day, I volunteer manage the dog park. I buy the bags.
Fantastic.
I put them in the dispensers. I clean up all the shit.
Nice.
I know.
Right? Nice. Speaking of shit.
Let me tell you something.
Piece of shit.
I'll tell you, I was in New York City in Washington Square Park, where they have a little dog area fenced off. And I stood around for about a half an hour, fascinated at all of the, it seemed like the Westminster Dog Kennel Club walked their dogs in that park, because every dog that went in the door was
fancy.
Probably a $5,000 purebred, whatever.
Wow.
Every species that you in that park, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Much like what you have at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. You know, you get a lot of, you get a mix. Okay. You get a mix.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more. So how big is it? How many in feet or how – explain? Like, no, it's easier this way. Compared to a football
field. We want
it
in meters, Steve, not feet. Meters.
No, football field. Yeah, let's football think. Field. How big is it compared to a football field?
Let's see. Half a field?
That's a classic American
probably,
analogy.
Probably
it's bigger
a
than
third,
a football
third
field.
Third of a football field.
Okay.
Okay,
pretty good. And is there – is it just completely wide open, or are there trees? Is
there's
there a stream?
Some, no,
is there a
some
pond?
Trees and the,
20 fire
the trees
hydrants.
Trees are boxed in with, and there's pea gravel around the trees. And there's a section in the back on the south side of the park.
Is there
the park.
Poo gravel and pea gravel?
I know. But,
poo and pea gravel?
Dave.
I threw you a softball on that one. So in the south side of the park, there's a timeout area where dogs can go in there and you can do some training. And that's a smaller isolated area, but otherwise it's open and dogs interact.
And grass? And, it's all grass?
No, no,
is it
no.
all grass?
It used to be grass, and then we paved it because the grass,
the
shit
grass killed
it. Would just get torn up by the dogs and the
really?
Weather.
So it's
yeah,
pavement?
It's
pavement.
It's asphalt.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting. Because and the reason I ask all this, apart from letting you tell us about this because it's great, we have a really beautiful dog park. We're very fortunate here, I guess, because we live where I live is right near a place called the Gatineau Park, which is a massive park. It's run by a a federal agency called the National Capital Division. There's something like 200 kilometers of trails, da 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 da. But closer to us, which is near the park, is also called the Boucher Forest. It's probably about 4 square miles, something like that, right? So pretty big. It's got a stream running through it, and da da da. And there's also a large area, which is a big field, all grass, and in the summer it grows very tall. But around the outside, drops down about 5 feet down into the bottom section. All the way around is gravel, so you can walk around, or you can let the dogs run wherever you want. So that's why I was so interested in it, and it's interesting. And I guess in an urban center, and I guess maintenance wise it's hard to maintain anything other than asphalt, so I kind of get it, but I just think it's great what you've done. That's just fabulous. And I that blew my mind what you just said, that it's the first yours was the first dog park in the
city. And that, I think it opened in '97.
That old,
yeah,
eh? 97, wow.
97, I believe. And I've been taking care of it. Well,
that's great. That is great, man. That is really good on you, man.
Well, Bill, you seem to be a very nice gentleman. You're in your information you sent us, you're a giving person. You support PAWS. You support hospitals. You support public radio in the U.S., which is great. I love listening to public radio. And we want to thank you a lot for coming on and talking to us today. But before we leave you, we want to find out if you have a song or a song lyric. It could even be a poem.
Are you going to pull the song up?
Surrender!
That's kind of a gimme. Are you going to pull up the song?
Well, we're going to play it on the extra.
I got a song which is great for people in quarantine. And it is a relatively new song by a band called The Revivalists, and they're friends of mine. And when they were starting out, my cousin said, these young guys need a place to stay, and they're touring, and they would come and crash at my house when they came to Chicago. And now they're pretty cool. Big, and you should listen to their music.
I've heard the name.
They're great, they're nice guys, they're down in New Orleans. And the song is You and I by The Revivalists. So no. It's great. It's great music for being in quarantine. It's it's got a great up tempo and it's a happy song.
That's really interesting in that, and I guess they've stolen my thunder a little, because I'm a musician and I just wrote a song which we're producing right now, and we're hoping to have the ISO video ready later this week. And when I get it, of course, I'll send it to you, Bill. But called You and I. So I'm not the first.
Unbelievable.
I'm not the first. That's a great song called You and I.
Yeah, I think there's more than one of us out there. So
okay, listen, we're gonna let you go. Bill, thank you very much.
Yep.
Really appreciate it. Good luck in Chicago.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck in the Gatineau, Steve. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you guys.
And what about washing things, Dave?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
What about washing and breathing?
You should always make sure to wash your hands, wash your whatevers, and breathe carefully.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Take care.